我17岁那个时候，在我北方啊，有一个叫道德会，这个道德会啊，就专门讲道德、说仁义的。一天到晚呢都是讲道德说仁义。那么呢，我在那个时候啊，现在记大约是记不清楚了，那是17岁那年冬天的时候啊，我16岁参加道德会，17岁呢就做这个讲习班的主任。讲习班的主任呢就是教来做教授，教授啊，这一切的小员学生，这学生大概有60-70人。我来呀、传习，给他们做传习主任，传习班主任。传习班主任呢，我年纪很轻的，那个学生啊有50-60岁的，40-50岁的都有啊，男男女女有50-60。
I will tell you something. I am not a bodhisattva, but I can eat the things which others do not like to eat. When I was 17 years old in Manchuria, there was a virtue society which exclusively taught the way, virtue, humaneness, and righteousness. I joined the society when I was 16. When I was 17, I became the head instructor of about 60 or 70 people. I was very young, and the students were men and women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s.
在道德会呀、讲要要解药，解药就是省俭的，什么东西都要省俭。解药到什么程度上呢？吃这个马铃薯，马铃薯啊，英文叫菩提豆啊，那个不是这个甜的，就是普通的那种的这马铃薯。这马铃薯吃的时候啊，本来一般人吃这马铃薯把这个皮都扒下去，不吃那个皮。在道德会这些个人呢，都讲道德，要人家不能吃的都要吃。然后我就对着一般小员讲啊，我说这个俺们每一个人吃这马铃薯的皮呀、都不要吐了，就是勉强一点呢，都要把它吃下去。不能吃的要吃，表示俺们这个实行的功夫。
The society advocated thrift and economy, to the point that we even ate our potato skins. People would usually throw the skins away, but in the virtue society, we talked about morality and eating what others do not like to eat. So I said to the students, when everyone eats their potatoes,They should not spit the skins out. Force them down. This will show that we actually do eat what others cannot eat.
可是我这样讲了，我自己是把这个皮吃了，但是一般小员呢，有的就像耳边风啊，听的也不听，就这么，还是把它吐到，有的吐到桌子上，有的把它吐到地下的，就从口里啊，嚼完了吐到桌子上，吐到地下的。那么在吃饭的时候大家都不讲话，我也不管他，随他们便。我已经发表说不要吐这个马铃薯的皮，那么他们一般的学生呢还是照常吐。
I said it and I ate my own potato skin, but the students for the most part let my words blow past their ears like the windand spit the skins out on the tables or on the floor. When we ate, no one was allowed to talk. I had already told them not to spit out the skins, so I did not pay any attention to what they did.
那么吃完饭，我用一个碗把所有的小圆呢吐这个到桌面上或者地下，这个马铃薯的皮我都捡到一个碗里，捡到一个碗里，我对着这一般小圆把它都吃了。这么样一来呀，这些个小学生都觉着不好意思啊，都觉着不好意思啊。由此之后啊，在我看这个学生呢，一个也不敢吐这个马铃薯的皮了，没有再敢吐的。如果我要不是这样实行啊，以身作则呀，啊，咱们这些个学生呢，就不会受教化。那么他们从口里吐出来，我再把它用口来吃了它，他们也觉得非常的惭愧。这就是啊，这就叫啊，人所不能吃的能吃。
After lunch, I went around the tables with a bowl, picked up all the potato skins the students had spit out on the tables and on the floor, and I stood in front of them and ate them. The students were aghast and very embarrassed. From that time on, not a single student dared to spit out his potato skin. They never spit them out again. If I had not actually practiced what I preached with my own example, I could not have influenced the students to change. They spit the skins out of their mouths, and I put the skins in my mouth and ate them. They were greatly ashamed. This is called eating what others cannot eat.
那为什么我要吃一餐今天呢？我不妨和我们各位同胞来说一说我这个经历。那时候是在东北，在东北呀，正在日本侵略中国的时候，我在我母亲呢本上守孝，就有人呢来告诉你说是啊，日本人把中国人呢抓去了做劳工，到那个地方一天也吃不饱，饿死很多人，也不给衣服穿太苦了。我想起这样的这么多没有衣服穿的没有饭吃的人饿得死很饿死很多人，冻死很多人，所以我就发愿呢愿意一天吃一餐，把我早晨这一餐和晚间这一餐都留给这个没有饭吃的人吃。
Why do I eat one meal a day? Today I might as well tell you the conditions that brought about this resolve. In Manchuria, when Japan invaded China, I was mourning beside my mother's grave. Meanwhile, somebody told me that the Japanese had seized a lot of Chinese people and put them into labor camps. They did not have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, and so a lot of people starved to death and froze to death. It was extremely bitter. I pondered this situation and the severity of their plight, and then I made a vow to eat one meal a day. I wished to save my breakfast and dinner for those who didn't have food to eat.
有的人就说了，这种行为呀，这太愚痴，可以这么说，是很愚痴因为没有饭吃那个人，或者他不能直接得到我所剩下的饮食，但是各位要知道，这是物质不灭，我不吃这个东西呀，这个饮食啊，它始终是会在世界存在的，它在世界存在，那么 始终是会有人来吃它的，所以我发这个愿呢，一天吃一餐。
Somebody might say this kind of attitude is very stupid. Well, you can say it's very stupid because those hungry people might not directly receive the food which I saved, but all of you should know it's the principle of material without extinction. The food I didn't eat will remain in the world. Since it remains in the world, somebody will get to eat it. So I made this vow to eat one meal a day.
并且我又看四十二章经、啊、那有人说、啊、这个吃一餐不是佛制，那么是鬼制 啊你连佛法都不懂，他说不是佛制，你打开四十二章经看一看，那说比丘日中一时，树下一宿，甚无赞矣，去世之才甚无赞矣、啊、不要多了、啊、那么这不是佛智，是什么智、啊、你不懂佛法反而乱加批评，这真是、啊、可怜。我所谓可怜悯者、啊、因为这样子我发愿呢吃一餐。
Somebody will say eating one meal a day is not the system taught by the Buddha. Then what is it? The system of ghosts? You don't understand the Buddha Dharma. How can you criticize it as not the system taught by the Buddha? You can open the sutra of the 42 sections. In it, it says, Bhikshus, take only one meal a day at noon. Pass the night beneath trees, and be careful not to acquire worldly things. If this is not the system taught by the Buddha, then what is it? You don't understand any Buddha Dharma, and what's more, you casually criticize it. This kind of attitude is exactly what the Buddha was referring to when he said, those people are to be pitied.
那么有死之后呢，我发愿不穿棉衣服，就是怎么样冷的天气、啊、我在东北呀，天气冷的时候零下33度34度，就常常这个样。那么要零下38度的时候一定会冻死人的，但是就在那么冷的天气啊，因为我发愿不穿棉衣服就穿单衣服，我冬天夏天穿三层布啊，也不穿毛线衣。那么这样的呢，因为发愿呢，我把这不穿棉衣服啊，我把这个棉花省下来给这个没有衣服的人穿啊，回向给他们啊，他们能不能得到啊，这也是物质不灭一种的方法啊。物质是存在的，物质存在的一定会有人用的。那么我发这个愿呢，不穿棉衣服，在那么冷的天气我也不怕冻的啊，甚至以后我连鞋也不穿，袜子也不穿，在那个雪地上啊，我在那个雪地上可以随便走，脚冻不坏的。
Not only did I vow to eat one meal a day, but from that time on I also vowed not to wear padded cotton clothing, no matter how cold the weather was. During the winters in Manchuria, the temperature always dropped to 33 or 34 degrees below zero. When the temperature dropped to 38 degrees below zero, it would freeze people to death. But even in such cold weather, I wore only 3 layers of clothing. Whether in winter or summer, it was the same. I did not even put on an extra sweater. By my vow, I saved the cotton for those who didn't have clothes to wear. I transferred it to them. Did they obtain benefit from it? This again is a case of material without extinction. Somebody will use it for sure. Ever since I made that vow not to wear padded clothes, I did not feel cold even in very chilly weather. Later on, I even went without socks and shoes, and I could walk with bare feet on icy ground at any time. My feet did not get frozen.
讲解这个啊，有一个很可笑的事情。我一个徒侄，他18岁，很年纪轻的，朝气很大的。他看我不穿鞋不穿袜子，他也试试看，在那个雪地上走了有100多步远，啊，他冻的那个脚窝胖的啊，胖的很厉害，啊，受不了了，受不了，他赶快啊跑到庙上去，在庙上半年不能走路，啊，你看看，我那时候20多岁，他18岁，比我年纪还轻，我受得了，他就受不了，不但他受不了，啊，他们和我差不多的年龄，他们都受不了，啊，我可以受不了，怎么样的呢？这就因为我发愿，我不穿棉衣服，啊，那么以后呢，不穿棉衣服也不冻了，不吃那么多饭呢，也不饿了。
That reminds me of a funny thing that happened. I had an 18-year-old disciple who was a very energetic young man. He saw me walking on the icy ground without wearing socks and shoes, and he wanted to try it out. But he hadn't taken more than 100 steps when his 2 feet completely froze and then swelled up fiercely. He couldn't endure any more and hurriedly ran into the temple. It took 6 months before he was able to walk again. At that time, I was 20 years old and could bear the cold. But even though he was younger, he couldn't. How could I bear it? It had to do with my vow not to wear padded clothes. Since I didn't wear padded clothes, I didn't feel cold at all. Since I didn't eat so much food, I didn't feel hungry.
我在以前不是吃一餐的时候，每一餐我要吃五碗饭，要吃五碗，啊，这五碗三五一十五碗，啊，不，虽然不是很大的碗，但是也是普通吃饭的碗，年纪轻的人差不离都可以吃五碗饭，啊，我因为身体也不小啊，所以吃五碗饭，但是发愿吃一餐呢，以后啊，最多只吃三碗饭，无论大小碗，啊，大碗吃两碗，小碗吃三碗。
Before I wasn't eating one meal a day, I had to eat 5 small bowls of food at each meal, which was a total of 15 bowls a day. But after I vowed to eat 1 meal a day, I could manage with 3 bowls of rice at most. If the bowl was a big one, I ate 2 bowlfuls. If the bowl was a small one, I ate 3 bowlfuls.
并不是自己解量食，啊，吃多了，也是觉得不舒服，所以呢，不吃他也不饿了。那么在，这个人呢，就是要有一种愿力，一有愿呢，啊，他就会满你啊。我这个吃一餐就是这个原因，所以我的弟子呢，在美国的啊，多数啊都是吃一餐，不单出家人吃一餐，在家人很多很多都吃一餐。他们也都愿意像我这个笨法子。
It is not that I put myself on a diet. Actually, I feel uncomfortable when I eat too much. Even if I didn't eat, I didn't feel hungry at all. From this, people would recognize the power of vows. If you make vows, they will fulfill your wishes. This is the story behind why I eat 1 meal a day. Most of my disciples in America also eat 1 meal a day.Not only do the left-home people eat 1 meal a day, but a lot of the lay people also eat 1 meal a day. They like to learn my stupid method.
啊，在科学时代用这个笨法子来修行，啊，这是啊，可以说是不会算，算账，啊，不会算数，那么又可以说算得很清楚，啊，因为我们不吃的东西给其他人吃。这和其他人结上这个饮食缘了，所以相信呢，近未来际都不会饿死，啊，因为我们怕饿死，所以把这个应该吃的东西留他一点，慢慢吃，啊，又者啊，古人又有这么两句话，说减一增辅， 减食增寿啊，我自己想我自己呀、不会活得很长命，所以少吃一点呢，这个寿命会长一点啊。这个不是一定这样，我和你们各位啊讲一讲这个效果啊。那么真实的那么吃一餐就是要依照佛制来修行。
In this scientific age, they want to use this stupid method to cultivate. You can say that they don't know how to calculate, but viewed from another point, they can be said to be calculating in great detail. They give away the food which they don't eat and save it for other people. This is creating food affinities with other people. So I believe that they will never starve to death through limitless future time. It is because we're afraid that we'll starve that we save some food for future use. The ancients also had a saying, if one decreases the clothes he wears, one's blessings will grow. If one decreases the food he eats, one's lifespan will increase. Because I think that my lifespan will probably not be too long, I want to decrease my intake of food in order to increase my lifespan. Actually, this is not true. I'm just making a joke with you. But in fact, eating one meal a day is in accord with the system taught by the Buddha.
我在东北呀，所收的皈依弟子，我那时候还是做沙弥。做沙弥的时候呢，就很多人都皈依我。为什么他要皈依我呢？他就看我是好像呢和一般人呢不一样似的。那时候讲起来很可笑的。在冬天的时候，自己也不穿鞋也不穿袜子，在那雪地上走。就这么愚痴不管他动不动的冬天夏天都穿着三层布，不穿棉衣服。因为这个一般人看见呢天气零下34-5度也冻不死这个人，认为这是很特别了，于是乎很多人都皈依我。
When I was 19 and still a novice, many people in Manchuria wanted to take refuge with me. Why? They saw that I was different from ordinary people. I walked barefoot in the snow in wintertime, and I wore only 3 layers of cloth all year round, and never wore a padded clothing. People saw that I could do this without freezing, even when the temperature dropped to 34 or 35 degrees below zero, and so they wanted to take refuge with me.
在我东北的地方，有个贝恩河。这贝恩河有一个外道的老师，叫关中喜，这个人。他有3-4千徒弟。他传一个外道，这个外道叫什么道呢？叫收缘道。入他这个道呢要花很多钱。为什么要花钱呢？他有很多宝贝，每一个宝贝啊卖1000块钱，那么他有几百个宝贝就卖10000块钱。什么宝贝呢？他这个宝贝只有个名字，你看不见这个宝贝。怎么说呢？他说这没有到时候，这个宝贝不能交给你。等到时候啊，这个世界变了啊，那个宝贝就给你了，给你你就可以用了。 那么他三千多个徒弟呀、啊，三四千个徒弟呀、啊，都很相信他。他这个时候大约有五十多岁了。
I remember a non-Buddhist teacher in Guangzhongxi who lived in Beiyin River in Manchuria. He had large knees, characteristic of people living near the mountains. His religion was called the Shouyuan sect, and he had over 3,000 disciples. One had to pay a considerable sum to join his religion. Why was that? He had hundreds of treasures for sale at $1,000 each. What kind of treasures were they? The treasures existed in name only, and he would explain, "The time is not right, and so I can't give them to you now. When the time comes, the world will change and you will have your treasures." His 3,000 or 4,000 disciples all had great faith in him. He was over 50 years old then.
以后有一天他自己知道这骗人的事情呢靠不住了，连他自己呀也没有宝贝了啊，没有宝贝来保护他这个生命了，他知道自己呀离这个死这条路啊是很近的，很接近死的这个时候了。他怕临死的时候啊不懂修道就会手忙脚乱了，于是乎他就各处访道，所有的善知识他听某一个人有道就离得很远，他也就去访这个人呢，就想求叫他修道。一访呢他很诚心的访了三年，带着他一个侄子，他这个侄子呢叫观战海，姓关，就是关公这个关，大家关公的后人。访了三年呢也没有访得到，就很忧愁，天天的啊就来死了，不懂得修行，这是最坏的一件事啊。
Later he knew that he could not rely on his business of cheating people. He didn't have any treasures to protect his own life. Knowing that the time of his own death was approaching, he was afraid that without understanding how to cultivate the way, he would die in panic and confusion. Therefore, he went to pay visits all around. Whenever he heard that a person had attained the way, he would call on that person, no matter how far away he was, and request instruction on cultivating the way. Taking his nephew Guan Zhan Hai with him, he went around visiting for 3 years. His surname Guan is the same as that of the warrior Lord Guan, so he is probably Lord Guan's descendant. After 3 years, he still had not discovered the way and was very anxious. Every day he thought, "Alas, death is upon me and I still don't understand how to cultivate. This is terrible."
他的侄子也不预备结婚呢，就预备和他修道，就跟着他，两个人家都变成道迷子，道迷了，被这个道迷住了。有一天呢，我到他家里去了，到他家里去很奇怪的，这个观战海呀，在我没去之前他就做了一个梦，做什么梦呢？他就做梦我已经到他家里去了，坐到他炕上， 他就跪到我面前呢，说是就要求道，叫请我怎么叫他怎么样修道。在他这个梦中啊，他就觉得呀，我把他从头上呢就扒下一张皮来，在他身上从头上这么一扒，就扒下一张皮来。这一张皮扒下来之后，这用两个手这么一扯，扯下来就放到地下。他一看，这张皮是什么皮呢？原来是猪皮。啊，完了，他就说：“啊，我身上怎么有一张猪皮呢？”
His nephew planned to remain single and follow him to cultivate. So the two of them became fanatics of the way. One day I went to his home. Strange to say, before I went there, Guan Zhan Hai had a dream. In his dream, I had already come to his home and was sitting on his brick bed. He knelt in front of me and begged me to teach him to cultivate the way. In the dream, he saw me peel a layer of skin from his body, tearing it off from both hands and throwing it on the ground. It was the skin of a pig. He thought, how could I have a layer of pig skin on my body?
在梦中啊，他就听我说，说你不吃，你不吃渣呀，你净吃猪肉啊，将来就会有个猪皮披到身上了。这么样子他就很害怕了。哦，这个做猪又肮脏有什么用呢？于是我就醒了。醒了，在醒了之后第二天呢，很奇怪，我就到他家里了。他就对他不认识我。不认识我，但是在做梦他就见着了，对他叔叔就讲说，昨天晚上我做梦见这个人到我们家里来了，啊，今天他真来了。
In his dream, he heard me say, "You aren't vegetarian and you eat pork. In the future, you will have a pig skin on your back."He was scared stiff and said to me, "Oh no, pigs are filthy and useless." And then he woke up. When I showed up at his house the next day, then the nephew said, "Last night I dreamed that this person came to our house, and now he's actually here."
他叔叔说，真的吗？你做什么梦？他就对他这个叔叔一讲，说怎么样子，梦着我给他扒下一张猪皮来，他跪到我面前来求道。他叔叔，他这是啊，他是个有道的人呢，把道送到我们家里来了，俺们两个人一定要向他求道的。这两个人互相你对我讲讲，我对你讲讲，讲完了两个人就到我坐的那个房里，把门就关上了，不叫他家里人进来。两个人呢进到我面前就跪下就向我来求道。
His uncle was excited. "Really? What did you dream?" After he related the dream, his uncle said, "This person has the way, and he has brought it to our house. The two of us must certainly seek the way from him." After talking, they went into the room where I was sitting, closed the door, and knelt before me to request the way.
向我求道，我说你不要发神经病。你向我求什么道？我和你是一样的，我不懂道。他说，我知道你守孝，因为他叔叔啊知道我守孝，在我母亲坟上修道，他想去见我， 总也没有时间见，但是他认识我，知道是我。说这回你到我们家里来给送到来了，这个我的侄子昨天晚上就做梦，梦见你给他扒下一张猪皮啊。我说你净胡说八道，他我怎么会给他扒下一张猪皮，他也不是个猪啊。他真的这无论如何你要叫我们修行了。哎，我说我就不会叫你们修行，你要想找师傅嘛，我可以帮忙你们找一个善知识。哎，他说我们各处找了三年也没有找着，到哪个地方都是光有个名啊，真功夫没有啊。我说我可以带你去找去，他本来想拜我做师傅。我也不知道他们是真的是假的，是真相信我是假相信我，是试验我，我这个我做事情也不是随随便便做的。
Have you both gone insane? I said, What do you want from me? I'm just the same as you. I don't understand the way. We know you cultivate filial piety, they said. The uncle, who knew I had cultivated filial piety beside my mother's grave, had wanted to meet me, but had never found the time. He said, We know you have brought the way to our home, for my nephew had a dream last night. In the dream, you peeled a pigskin off his body. You're confused, I said. He's not a pig. How could I peel a pigskin off him? But it's true, he said, and no matter what, you have to teach us how to cultivate. I can't teach you to cultivate, but if you want to find a teacher, I can help you look. We've looked everywhere, but we haven't found one. Wherever we go, it's always the same. They all have a big reputation, but no genuine skill. I can take you around, I said. They had wanted to bow to me as their teacher, but I didn't know if they really had faith in me. I never did anything casually.
啊，就这么样子，我说我可以带你们找师父去，我就带他见这个常人大师啊，见着很多人，很多这个修行的高人，见着一谈话，他都觉得不满意。那么我又带他各处访道，访了有两年呢，啊，他也不拜师父，然后一定两个叔侄两个一定要拜我做师父。啊，我那时候，那时候还做沙弥呢，我不想收徒弟。啊，两个人呢就跪在我面前不起了。
I took them to meet Great Master Chang Dren and many other great cultivators. But after meeting with them, they were always dissatisfied. After sending them everywhere for 2 years, they still insisted on taking me as their teacher. But I was still a novice monk. I did not want to take disciples. Finally, they knelt before me and refused to get up.
以后我就叫这个关中喜呀，就解这个双家父咒。我说你不用讲我有道没有道，你先练习这个修这个双家父咒。你把这个座修好了，我再来叫你。他呢，就天天练这个解双家父咒。他这个侄子可以做，但是他这个叔叔因为骨头老了，这个腿呀，我那个边东山里那个这个膝盖这地方是有一个大骨头节，大骨头节他坐着这个腿就这样，不能贴床上，就这样支起来一尺多高，他天天就这么揉，用手这么揉来揉去，揉揉揉。有等到70多天嘛，我到他家里去了，去一看他， 她以前是大骨头姐，现在比那个大骨头姐更大一倍，肿起来了。她就迈步啊，一步连这么车子压的折，她都迈不过去了。那个车辙只有这么宽，不能走路了。我一看，我说啊，你这个不小心。不要练习这个双夹腹坐了，你现在还有没有坐？
Then I taught them to sit in lotus posture. The nephew had no trouble, but the uncle's bones were old and he had big kneecaps, which stuck up about 15 inches in the air when he tried to sit cross-legged. But the uncle kept trying. He pushed his knees down over and over. When I returned after 70 days, I noticed that his knees were swollen. They were so sore, in fact, that he couldn't even step over a cart rut. You shouldn't sit in full lotus, I told him. Are you still practicing?
啊，他说我有做啊，我就练习这个做，把这个腿练得胖得这么大啊，现在把腿也练胖了啊。我说你不要练了，你这个腿这样子，是受不了了。你说他说什么？说不要练，我就快死了。我要不练，那么我死的时候怎么办呢？啊，我现在呀，就是宁可我这个腿肿啊，他腿怎么样的我都要练，除非死了，那我就不管了。不死而外，我就一定要练这个坐。啊，我说好了，那你就练喽。我也走了。
I am, said the uncle. My knees are swollen, but I can sit in full lotus. You shouldn't continue. I said you won't be able to bear it. What do you mean, said the uncle? I'm about to die, and if I don't practice now...What will I do then? No matter what, I am going to practice meditation. If I die, that's another matter. But as long as I'm still alive, I'm going to practice. Do what you like, I said, and left.
走了到一百天，我又到他家里去，一看这个腿不肿了，我就问他，问你现在不练这个双夹腹坐了？他说我现在坐着多久也不痛了，啊，这个腿也不肿了，啊，我这个坐练成功了，那样子，我说那这回好了，我就教他一个修行的方法，就是这个参禅呢，怎么样用功，怎么样打坐啊，教他这种的功夫。哦，他高兴得不得了，以后在家里天天的修行打坐跟他自己临终的时候他自己知道，就告诉他家里说，我在某月某日某时啊，我要走了，现在我唯一的心里觉得放不下的就是没有见着就提我没有见着我最好啊，我见一见他最好。可惜呀，他现在不知在什么地方，我也见不着他了。我就在什么时候我就要走了。那么到时候他就解上双夹腹坐，就是也没有什么病痛就走了。在他走这天晚间呢，他那个乡村里头啊，很多人呢都做梦见他有两个穿青衣服的童子。
When I returned 100 days later, I noticed that the uncle's legs were no longer swollen. You're not still sitting, are you? I asked. Guan Zhongxi smiled. I can sit in full lotus, he said, and no matter how long I sit, it doesn't hurt, and my legs don't swell. Then I taught him how to apply effort in meditation.The uncle was incredibly happy and sat in meditation every day. After cultivating for 3 years, about 3 months before his death, he gathered his family together and said, on such and such a day, at such and such a time, I'm going to leave. I'm going to die. The only wish I have is to see my teacher once again, but I don't know where he is now, and so I cannot see him. Then on the appointed day, he sat upright in full lotus, and without any illness, he died. That evening, many of the villagers had the same dream. They dreamed that they saw the uncle accompanied by two youths in dark robes being taken to the west.
从十几岁呀，那时候，啊，19岁的时候。 就有很多人呢，在我东北，他们都皈依我。那时候我还做沙弥呢，啊，做沙弥呀，就有很多的人呢要皈依我。我本来不愿意收，但是啊，他们又很诚恳的跪到我面前呢，几个钟头那么跪着，啊。 有一次我记得，有个姓关的，叫关南海。有一天，俺们走到啊这个路上，他就把我这个袖子啊给抓住了，抓住啊就跪到我面前，要求要皈依我。